Hello, I'm Brooke Johnson. Welcome to my father's podcast. For this week's message, or any of the messages in our archive, subscribe for free on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Bethel Christian Fellowship is a church that relies on the support of its community. We consider you a part of that community, and we would love for you to participate in our financial life. You can do that at our website at drcraigjohnson.org. Whether you're new to this space or a regular pod listener, we're glad you're here. We believe that this message will bring you hope, encouragement, and guidance. God bless you.
Are you sufficiently sophonsified? How do you spell that? I have no idea. We were on our own. Well, it looks right, but it's sort of...
I thought it was spelled differently.
I thought it was too, but no one's ever heard of it. I asked a professional and they went, I don't have a clue. What do I mean? Are you sufficiently sophonsified? Last week we were talking about fulfillment, and I really believe with all my heart that the Lord is bringing many of us into a season of fulfillment. You know, you can be pregnant in the natural 9 months. In the spirit, you can be pregnant 30 or 40 years with a dream or a promise. And you imagine some of us have been waddling around, eating pickles and ice cream, uncomfortable where we are, wearing our spiritual maternity clothes. You know, when do you do? What do you mean? Have you ever done that? I've done that. I've done that twice. When's the baby coming? I'm not pregnant. Oh, you got to edit yourself a lot. Anyway, in the spirit, you can see folk with child. And some of you are the octomom. You may have 8 books in you, 8 songs in you, 8 dreams. And you know how miserable it gets just before the water breaks and before you just got to get these kids out. Well, hate to tell you, in the realm of the spirit, there's some long-term pregnancies. And wow, you know, and all you can do is be uncomfortable and no pillow fits. And porridge is too hot, it's too cold. I may be talking to the wrong group, but not from what I was told. So fulfillment in that case would be in due season, in due time. We taught on hibernation, and we found out that when an animal, when his time is not right and he doesn't have the nourishment he needs, he goes into hibernation. It's not death or sleep. It's somewhere in the middle. And so you can be underground hibernating dreams, hopes, beliefs, promises the Lord has given you, and you just feel as big as the world. But he is not unjust to forget your labors of love that you have done on behalf of the saints. And what he begins, he fulfills. Last week we talked about fulfillment. And fulfillments don't always look like we think. God's fulfillments are always greater than his promises. Have you found that to be true? Simple promise, but it's got to go through Russia, and it's got to go up to Mars, and it's going to take 25 years, and then some 3 people have to die, and then all of a sudden you get this fulfillment that ricochet into your life that you're going, that's not what I was praying for. Remember last week I talked about 4 ways of fulfillment and sometimes answered prayer. First of all, sometimes God will explain something to you. You're asking for him to change someone, usually. Isn't that what prayer is all about? Get your rabbit's foot out, right? Like the woman I heard, she went to the psychiatrist and she had a piece of bacon over each ear, and she had a fried egg on her forehead, and she said, "Sir, I'm here to see you about my brother." See, when we pray, we're usually, you know, sort of my kingdom come, my will be done, and rubber stamp this, and now rubber stamp this. But we found out sometimes we miss answers to prayer because sometimes we expect power when we pray. But sometimes Jesus gives an explanation. You know, sometimes you don't need power. You need an explanation of something that happened in your family of origin, that your life has never been right since that happened. And Jesus says, I'm going to fulfill what you've been longing for. I'm going to answer your prayer, but it's with an explanation. You don't need that. Now, nothing wrong with power, because that's the second way he fulfills things. First, explanation. Secondly, power. And praise God for his power. I want to see power. I want to see us knocked down and levitated back up. I'm a power man. But see, when we ask for answers to prayer, we're usually looking through one keyhole into Versailles, one keyhole into the Vatican Museum. Have you seen the Vatican? Oh, yeah. Oh, many times. I mean, you sort of saw it, but you didn't really see. You see what I'm saying? Because when we pray, we usually want power. That's all we want. You know, ha, ta, ta, ta. Well, sometimes, mostly, he doesn't bring power. First, he gives you an explanation, and praise God for that. That unties the knots. Second, power. Third, re-examination. Remember, John the Baptist is in prison? Doesn't know what's going on. 30 years in the wilderness for 6 months of ministry, and now a dancing girl and Herod, and he's in jail. Have you ever gotten to the point where you're just going, hello, I'm the voice crying in the wilderness. I mentioned twice in the Old Testament. Send him a fax. And Jesus' response to John is, look again. Look, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing. Reconnect the dots again, John. We're good. I never said you'd have more than 6 months of ministry. Did the Lord ever have to tell you that? I never said you wouldn't be this age when things would happen. It was in the fine print in Aramaic. Look again. See, sometimes he'll explain it. He'll show power. Sometimes he just says, look again. Re-examine the facts laying around you. Gosh, if it might not come out to be what it's supposed to be. And the last one was, he'll give you a task to do. He'll give you a meaningless task that seems to not be about anything, just to keep your mind off of craziness. Because in the middle of a task, you know, throw your net on the other side of the boat, pick up your bed and walk. You know, sometimes he just tells you things to get you from A to B so that you're not obsessing about the issue. So fulfillment is wonderful. There's nothing so precious as when a promise is fulfilled. But today I want to take that a little deeper and talk about a fulfilled life, a full life. Because, you know, somebody said, what do you do at Bethel? What's your thing? Where are you going? Well, that says it all. I want to see God's precious children full of life, sufficiently sophonsified. I want to see them dance. I want to see them laugh so hard that they want to throw up. Belly laughs. Do you know all of heaven is one big belly laugh? That's all it is. You know the good ones that you can't throw? I was in an airplane watching a movie, and it was so funny. I'm shaking. I almost broke the seat off. And a preacher next to me says, what are you watching? I said, never mind. You know when you get a belly, those are gifts. Can you imagine belly laughs at will? Where you're just discombobulated and I was shaking in the chair. It looked like I was Michael. I was like all over the place. Well, heaven's one big belly laugh. In heaven, God says, look at this. And you go, whoa. And he goes, you think that's something? Look at this. Whoa. For eternity. What's not to like? Sufficiently sophonsified. Obviously. Someday one day we'll be sophonsified. Abraham Lincoln said, it's not the years in your life that count, it's the life in your years. That's what we're going to talk about for a few minutes today. I want to talk about Abraham. Listen to my text, Genesis 25, 7 and 8. Abraham lived 175 years. Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Listen to that. He breathed his last. He died at a good old age, an old man, full of years. There's a whole new measurement of human life that comes into existence with Abraham's death, because he was 175 when he died. Okay, that might be big for us. You know, it's like, whoo, you know, you're on the holistic side. Not compared to all the previous folk in the Bible. Longevity used to be the standard. Duration used to be the standard. How old was your daddy? You know, 602. You know, that was longevity alone. But with Abraham, there's a whole new redefinition of life. And it isn't duration, how long, it's how intense. It's not the years lived, it's the life that was lived in the years. Abraham had a key. He's called a friend of God. three times he's called a friend of God. You know, you love everybody but equally, but you don't like everybody equally. I hope not. God loved Abraham and liked him and was in love with him. And there was a corresponding beauty in their relationship. Abraham was a man comfortable in his own skin, sufficiently Savant-sified. Not someday in heaven, but he died having lived. How does a friend of God live? He lived in close trust with the Lord. And he lived where he was able to pour the most amount of life in every instance of time. We call it eternalizing a moment. You ever heard about that? Eternalizing a moment. You see the greatest sunset you've ever seen, and you just sort of take a spiritual snapshot. It's like, oh my God, I'm here, I'm alive. This is amazing. Are you seeing this too? What are we doing? We're eternalizing a moment. Sufficiently sponsified. You know, it's like, I will remember this bite of Ruth's Chris steak into eternity. Abraham passing. It wasn't like, you know, we live in a culture where everybody just takes the interpretation of duration with regard to life. That means they slavishly and wickedly and I think embarrassingly try to hold on to every last second. Oh God. That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be like Abraham. Look at the imagery. He drunk a full draught. He had enough. He blessed the giver of the feast. He pushed his chair back and died fully satisfied. Isn't that beautiful? Can you imagine? He died full of years. Didn't have a long life, but he had a full life. John the Baptist didn't have a long life, but he had a full life. It's got to be pretty cool to be mentioned twice in the Old Testament. Hey, John, how do we know you're of God? Well, you could read Isaiah 40, verse 3. And Malachi, or Malachi, to some of you, 3 verse 1. That's me. Didn't have a long life, duration, but he had a full life. It wasn't extensive, but it was intensive. Do you know what I'm talking about? The people that you meet that seem to be a window to eternity, and they just sort of breathe delight, and there's a heightened sense of life about them. They're sufficiently sophonsified. They're living a full life. And friends of God, I think eventually over time learn it's not the years of life, it's the life in the years. Did you know we measure time in events? Did you know one event that happens in 1 hour can cripple you and age you 20 years? 1 hour. The news comes in 1 hour and they'll age you 20 years. Conversely, one blessed year can change your life forever. One blessed year can change your life forever. Oh, beloved, we serve a God who's an alchemist. He can give beauty in place of ashes. He can. And that's my prayer for all of us. What would we do? You know, the Bible says about Joseph. It says Joseph named his two children Ephraim and Manasseh. Manasseh means to forget. And he said, listen, you have made me to forget all the pain of my father's house. Through what, Ephraim? Through fruitfulness. Did you know God knows every drop of pain in the history of your house? He knows it better than you do. He can do something with fruitfulness that can go back and handle that and wipe it out. You can move forward from the chains of the past, not through obeying some commandments or being oddly religious, but by embracing fruitfulness. Just what would we do if everything went right for us for 12 months? I mean, everything. Not one shoe dropped. Not one carpet fell out from underneath our feet. First, we'd be suspicious the entire year. Because we know... I just know down in my knower there's something wrong that's going to happen. Look at the faith we have in utter catastrophe. I know the spirit of death is coming. I did put the lamb blood on the door, but we'll be the only exception. because we were wearing Egyptian sandals, or I just shaved my head. It's like, no, the blood's on the door. You know, come on. You know, we can be conditioned to destruction. And all these alleged people said, amen. Oh, yeah. See, with all of a sudden, it wasn't duration, it wasn't length of years, it was now fullness and completeness, because Abraham packed a double portion of life into every instant of time. So there's something about Abraham. He's full. Now let me read a text that you don't have, but it's here in the New Testament. Let me read it to you. The Lord Jesus is 40 years old, and they go into the temple. And it says, as it was written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So Mary and Joseph were really poor. They got the poor offering. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Isn't that beautiful? Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him, verse 26, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, can you imagine this old man? He's been in the temple his whole life. Why? God told him something. You know, that there was no scroll to support this kind of charismatic nonsense. God spoke to you? Yes. What did he say? That my eyes will not close in death until I've seen the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. Don't you love supportive people? Well, we'll see. God told him. Mm-hmm. Verse 27 says, and he came by the Spirit's guidance into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, he's 40 days old, the little 40-day-year-old God man. He took him up in his arms and he blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Now, does that sound like Simeon suicidal? No, he's not. He's sufficiently sophonsified as of this moment, because he said, your servant can depart in peace because I just got the fulfillment. I just got the fulfillment. Mary and Joseph think he's nuts. There's 100,000 people walking around that temple. I just got the fulfillment. He's probably doing some kind of little burrito wrapped. Son of God. There's probably some crazy praise in there somehow. He's waited all of his life, and finally in his arms. And by the way, he wasn't expecting a little baby thing that made a woman cry. He's probably expecting the Messiah with a, you know, with a crown on, coming, you know, some weird human extension of power. No. But Simeon, look at the beauty of it. He was sufficiently sophonsified. He said, now I can die because I'm fulfilled. I've fulfilled the will of God for my generation. He wasn't like, oh God, I'm going to die. I wish I could just die. God wants to shift our want to die from, oh God, I just want to die because I've been pregnant with these dreams for 40 years. Okay, I get that kind of longing for suicide. That's the enemy. This kind of, I can die now. Why did I have to do the salute? I can die now. Is because I'm full. I can't eat another bite. Just a wafer thin mint? No. You know what? When you're so full, and then you do push away from the table and begin to prophesy to your children. That's what I do. Hey, watch out when daddy's sufficiently sponsified. I don't reckon I've mentioned Old Reliable. No, Uncle Rusty, you haven't. Grant now mimics everything I'm about to say because he knows everything I'm going to say. I guess this shows that he's somehow. I said I was going to start with that. I was leading with that. You're right. But now I'm not going to tell you what I was really going to say because your arrogance has tripped you up. And then I did say what he thought I was going to say anyway. He wrote it down on a paper and said, see? These children, Now Abraham's not the only one that is defined like this. I just want to read a few names. Job, remember poor Job? God bless Job. You know, there's some people you hear about and you just say, oh, Lord Jesus. And if anyone asks you to pray, the phone rings and you see who it is and you go, oh. Job lost everything. His hedge went down. He lost everything but his wife, who said, curse God and die, you're of no value anyway. It's a mystery. Job loses everything, but his hedge goes back up. And the scripture says that after the bad events, he lives 130 more years in peace, sufficiently, safansify. And listen to what it says. You will come to the grave in full vigor, like sheaves gathered in season. Job 42:17, and so Job died an old man and full of years. He was likened to ripe corn when it is in the full ear, so complete, it's bending down in perfect heavy fulfillment, and then that ripe corn is lifted up right then and taken up home. It's not, you know, I can't move, oh, my lumbago. It's, you're so full. You've exhausted every possibility in life. There's nothing new under the sun. You've feasted well. You've drank well. And it's now like, I got to bless somebody. Bring everybody around my bed. Remember Jacob did that? He said, oopsie, bring everyone in right now. And he thought he'd prophesy over all his kids. And then it says he pulled his feet in the bed and went home, gave up the ghost. What a way, loved one. We're God's children. We have to teach people how to live and how to die. We need to teach people how to pour such life into the moments we have that they don't know why, but they just love being around us. I don't know what it is, but when I leave her presence, I don't feel like all the blood's been sucked out of my body. But when he calls, a little contrast, learning by contrast. Let me see, did they bring life or death into my life? Oh, he breathed his last, the Bible said, like a full, heavy, ripe corn. Listen to Isaac. Isaac, oh Lord. And Jacob came home to his father Isaac in Mamre near Kirjath Arba, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. Isaac lived 180 years. Then he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of years. That's not just an old man. That's a man packed full of life. But I don't have much to say about Isaac, except he was the living link between Abraham and the Messiah. You read Isaac's life. He didn't really do much of anything. You know what he did? He ate, drank, got fat, and had children, and lived in opulence. That was his calling in life. Can you? Yeah. Where do I sign up? Yeah. Amen. That's all he did. And he was the safest guy in the world. Can you imagine? The flesh of the Messiah came via Abraham to Abraham. Had tons of kids. I'll read you a list of all his sons sometime. But only Isaac was the living link through which the flesh of the Messiah would come. And all this guy had to do was, well, you were born. Eat, drink, be merry. And by the way, could you have just so many kids? And I'll just sort of straighten it all out. He died full. He didn't have any trauma and catastrophe. Well, he did lie once about his sister. Said she's my sister, but she was his half-sister, so it was half right. But the problem with half-truths is you may get the wrong half. And half-truths, like half-bricks, fly further and do more damage. Notice it says he breathed his last. Do you know, you breathe on the average of 16 breaths a minute. That's 960 breaths an hour. That's 23,000 breaths in a day. If you're ever 80, if you make it to 80, that's 672 million breaths. Now double that to Abraham's age. 1,500,000,000 breaths. So if you make it to 80, that's 672 million breaths. That sounds like a lot, but we burn them up 1,000 an hour. Every hour. and just you worrying about your life, you could get up into the Mile High Club, I think, with how many breaths when we're frantic and freaky. But you see, when Abraham breathed his last, it was out of fulfillment. It was out of being sufficiently sophonsified. And it was about, I'm done with this, so done with this. Bless you all. That's different than trying to hold on to another second, because duration is all you lengthen life by. It gets a little pathetic to see how people try to hold on to the miserable life they've had and have given to everyone else. Just one more. It's like paying the devil $10 more for 1,000 more breaths. You know, you guys, it's good to know when to go. Just pull your legs into bed and say, I'm sufficiently sophonsified. King David, oh, listen to this. He died a good old age, having enjoyed long life, wealth, and honor. And listen to Acts 13:36. Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep and he was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. David fulfilled the will of God for all his generation. And I might just throw one more name in that we mentioned last week, Jehoiada. Jehoiada wound up being the godly priest. There was a time in Israel's history where there was only one boy, Joash, alive of the line of David that had the flesh of David. And if he would have been killed, the Messiah would not have been able to come. Did you know things in life get down to it sometimes, and you don't even know how bad it is? And Jezebel had a daughter named Athaliah, and Athaliah had taken the throne for 6 years in Judah and had killed all the male relatives of David, except she didn't know that Jehoiada and his wife stole little Joash, a newborn, and raised him in the temple, about 200 yards from where that wicked queen was living. She thought she'd killed all the line of David and was now free to reign and start a whole new thing. But did you know the devil's a liar? He can't read your mind. He doesn't know when God hides somebody, they're hidden from him. Herod couldn't find Jesus. Pharaoh could not find Moses. Haman could not find a way to kill all of God's people. Because when God hides you, no one can find you. Jehoiada lived to be 130, 2 Chronicles 24:15. Now Jehoiada was old and full of years, and he died at the age of 130. Notice all these saints were comfortable in their own skin. All of these saints were a voice, not an echo. All of these saints were an original and not a copy. And I think the Bible's a book of life, and there are very few deathbed scenes, but we've looked at some this morning that should encourage us that fulfillment shouldn't just be looked at as, oh, God gave me a promise in 1962, so he's obligated to fulfill it. No, I want my whole life to be a full life, so sufficiently sponsified that people don't know why, but they like to be around me. I have a dear friend in another country who is not only an atheist, but he leads the atheistic movement. And he always says, I hate Christianity, but I love you. Whatever you are. That's what you want to hear. That's an honor. I put that on as a badge. I don't know what it is. He says, I don't know what it is. Because he hates Christianity. He's against the Bible. This guy's gonna, he wants to get you up and debate and the whole thing. And we spent time together in Paris and just laughed our butts off. We laughed so hard. On the second floor of the Louvre, there are the apartments of Napoleon III. And there's a picture of Napoleon III, and you can look it up. But he's standing, and he has a pair of pants that are very ballooned out. And this friend of mine and I were sitting looking, and I just sort of went, I like blew on my thumb, and it was, for some reason, it was very funny. It was so funny, like one of those belly laughs. He started going, and I started going, and the French police start, and they start coming over. And from that day to this, all we have to do is go like this, because it looks like the pants were blown up like a balloon. That's why you need belly laughs. Some people want a Bible verse from me. I say, go watch, do a Will Ferrell binge. Laugh. Get Ricky Bobby again. Laugh. The baby Jesus prayer. Laugh. because there's a sense of fullness. What draws people to Christ? The kingdom. When you're a window just ajar from heaven and they smell a sufficiently sophonsified life, they will crawl through that window to get to it. Amen. So of God, of all things as God's people, we ought to be the most delightful, the most precious. And you know, it just, that's what it's like to know Jesus. It's the most beautiful thing in the world. He who is life personified says, can I enter into you inclusive of all my life? And I know your needs and I can cause you to become sufficiently sophonsified. If you've lived your whole life just thinking of duration, now God wants to shift your view and say, no, it's not extent, it's intensiveness. You can live the last few years. All of us here, we're going to the table of the Lord today. Why don't we make a covenant with God today that it's not the years of life, it's the life in my years. And God, I want you to turn this whole paradigm around for me. I want to be so full of life. If I have 6 months to live, I want to be so sufficiently sophonsified. I want to be so fat and happy. I want to be so that people think I'm got 1 foot in one world and just 1 foot left in this one. Isn't that something? Dennis is going to pass out the elements. You at home, go ahead and just whatever you can grab, a little bit of bread, a little bit of water. There's no mystery beyond this being a point of contact. If you're not comfortable, that's all right. You don't have to take the elements. You just pull the top off, a little bread, a little juice. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes we just need a point of contact to say, I want to be like Simeon. I don't want to just die because I'm miserable. I want to die only when I'm fulfilled. And I've fulfilled the will of God for my generation. Wouldn't that be beautiful? You're immortal till your time comes, sweetheart. There's some people we think should have died a long time ago, and they live on and on and on. Have you ever noticed that?
Amen.
Like they asked George Burns why he didn't go out with younger women. He said, all the women my age are dead. Burns said, I get up in the morning, I shave, I read the obituaries. If my name's not there, I have breakfast. There's so many times where God says he used the latter part of so-and-so's life greater than the former. From this moment on, God can use you, not just clinging to the length of your life, but saying, God, I'm changing my view. I want a quality of life for whatever I've got left. I don't know. Only God knows our last heartbeat. Only God knows how many breaths we have. But thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Heaven is in the bank.
That's right.
But maybe while we're still alive here of use in this world, people could look at us as a window to eternity and say, I don't know what she's got, but my God, I want to be like that. And he took the cup and he said, this is my blood. This is what purchased heaven for us. Can we partake? Lord Jesus, we receive your forgiveness. We receive your mercy. We receive the blood of your cross. We receive the forgiveness of all sin. And we give you praise and we give you glory that because of your shed blood, we can stand in right relationship to the Father. We thank you that through your shed blood, the cloak of your righteousness has exchanged our cloak of sinfulness, and we now stand before the Father. Thank you that when the Father looks at us, he sees his Son, Jesus Christ, for we are hidden in Christ, in God. And he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, this is my body that was broken for you to purchase your peace. Let's partake. Father, right now we ask you to forgive us of just men and women rarely die. They usually kill themselves somehow. Lord, we don't want to prematurely end a story that is not even complete yet. Forgive us for just seeing life in its length and its duration. We want to see it different now. We want to see the intensity of life. We want to be sufficiently sophonsified. We don't mind going to heaven. Thank you for the blood that purchased our ticket. But we do not want to leave until every soul that we're called to minister to is filled with life and hope, encouragement and refreshment. Like David, we want to pass full of years having fulfilled the will of God for our generation completely. And all God's people said, amen. We'll just have Joaquin come up for a minute here before we close. God bless you. Thank you for your patience. Just give Dennis those elements.
The Lord gave me a strange thought. He felt like he told me that that he's going to fulfill you before he blesses you. And I was wondering what he meant. And then he kind of showed me yesterday. I had a thing I went to where I was kind of like being honored. Mike was there and he filmed it. But I subconsciously went to that event in a posture of to give, not to take. And there's nothing wrong with taking. God has things for you that he wants you to take boldly.
Amen.
But my posture was not in a posture of taking. It was in a posture of giving. And when you're giving, your hand is like this. And when your hand is like this, you can receive. They say it's better to give than to receive. I'm going to change that right now. I'm going to say, 'tis when you give that you receive. And I felt like that's what God is doing and that's what he's going to do. You eat one way when you're hungry. You eat another way when you're just going to sit down to have dinner and be served a 7-course meal. Or go to Ruth Chris. You don't eat. You eat a different way. And I feel like God is telling us, the blessings are coming. See, when you're fulfilled, the blessings, everything else is gravy. You don't need it. You're already happy. So that's how God wants us to be fulfilled before he blesses us, because then it's just gravy. And so that's what I feel he's saying, and what he wants to do, and what he is doing is that he's going to fulfill your hearts and your desire. And what is that but love? You feel loved. You feel like understood. You feel people get you. You feel loved. You feel heard, and you feel understood. And he wants us to feel that and be that before he gives us what we've been asking for 30-some years, whatever it is, the blessing. So, but see, when he fulfills you first, then the blessing is gravy. And it can be enjoyed fully. See, when you're hungry, you're not even tasting the food. You're just, and he's like, no. This is a 7-course meal, baby. You're going to enjoy. I want you to taste. Savor every single bite and course. So just let that sink in and just think about just changing from this to this. It's very subtle. It's kind of a mental thing, but
the spiritual things.
Yes. 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 So I thank him for the fulfillment. And you know what? The fulfillment, the blessings come or don't come, I know they will, but if they do or don't, it doesn't matter, because I'm fulfilled.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.